You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast, where we have racing to bring you from Sedgefield, Huntingdon and Leopardstown. You can join Luke Elder in the company of Ollie Pimrott and Paddy Aspel for all of the day's racing on Sunday. Sam Norris here, and joining me on this edition of the podcast, it's a warm welcome to Will Smith. How are you, Will?
I'm good, thanks, Sam. How are you?
Good. Yeah, not too bad at all.
Good.
Obviously, this weekend a little bit more low-key compared to some of the weekends that we have had. We're recording this sort of midway through Saturday afternoon, and there's been reasonably good racing on without any real standout races.
Yeah, it's obviously 2 weekends away from the big C word, isn't it? So everything is just sort of lulling before the big storm. Obviously next weekend we've got Imperial Cup Day at Sandown, so that's almost the warm-up event for
yes.
Cheltenham. But this is probably traditionally one of the quieter weekends. I say that, quieter. I think sometimes the Grimthorpe card at Doncaster can attract a decent field and a decent showing, but maybe ground conditions haven't helped there. And Kelso as well, the ground is probably on the faster side for most people's liking as well. So they've had smallish fields there, which is a shame, because they're obviously goodest prize money at Kelso. They're listed Premier Chase and the Premier Novice Hurdle, the Grade 2 as well, they're a small field. So, look, it is what it is. We've got a treat in store in a week and a half's time.
Yes.
At the moment, we're just having a little bit of a lull.
Mm. Has anything caught the eye particularly on Saturday? Obviously, we had Chidswell winning the Grimthorpe Doncaster Blue Flight, victorious at Kelso. Rouge Vif was also a winner at Kelso as well. And, of course, Paul Nicholls won yet another Greatwood at Newbury. I think it's his ninth with Sam Benedetto.
Yeah, I think the obviously a great story for Chidswell too. Great story. It's great for the owners and connections that, you know, they've got a big winner the weekend after losing one of their probably one of their favourite horses, I imagine.
The
sadly ill-fated Baywing, who obviously won last year's Ida and then paid the ultimate price in this year's Ida. I think in the Grimthorpe itself, eye-catching run in second, certainly from Dingo Dollar with respect to the Scottish National. I thought he went well from the front for a long way and then maybe just got done for a bit of pace by slightly speedier horses, the likes of Chidswell in the straight, but he stayed on strongly through the line. He was a close up third, I think, in the big novice handicap at over 3 miles at Ayr's Scottish Grand National meeting last year, so I think he ran a really nice trial for that Scottish National. I know that's a long way off at the minute, but you know, just putting him down, I imagine he'll probably go straight there.
Yes.
You know, markets won't be out for that as yet, the entries aren't even out, but he certainly ran an eye-catching race for me with respect to that particular target.
It'll be interesting to see where that one ends up going forward. Of course, Chidswell, the winner of the big race of the day at Doncaster. Going to be moving on shortly to discuss some of Sunday's racing, but one of the big talking points at the moment, and this obviously affects Sunday's racing in regards to the last race today at Sedgefield, which is a walkover due to the ongoing argument over prize money at the moment between the ARCO and Tracks, and obviously owners and trainers who've chosen to vote with their feet, as they did a week ago at Lingfield, having another walkover on Sunday at Sedgefield, with all the proceeds going to charity from the winning connections, Donald McCain and Brian Hughes. But you yourself have obviously owned shares in horses. Is it obviously everybody would like more money? It's not a bottomless pit, we're aware of that. Do you think that the action is justified?
I think it probably is. It's always tricky. I mean, if you look at prize money levels, certainly at the lower end currently to where they were, say, 20, 25 years ago, you can find lots of occasions where actually, you know, the prize money 20, 25 years ago was more than it is now, which is quite a striking anomaly, really, given inflation, given the way, the way things have gone in the interim. So at the lower level, having most of the horses I've had shares in have been at the lower level, and it is incredibly hard to actually make it pay. I mean, you have to either get very, very lucky with one, or I mean, I've never done this properly myself, but there are punters out there and owners out there who will lay horses out to try and, you know, essentially pay for the training by landing a gamble or two, which is the correlation of having to do that at the lower level is never going to be a good one, because it leans itself towards you know, maybe not running your horse on its merits fully.
Skullduggery.
Well, because that's the only way you can make money on it. So definitely at the lower level. I mean, you've got some of these series now, like the is it the Challenger series, the finals of which are at Haydock. You've got the Northern Lights series, the final of which is at Carlisle. That's great, and you've got those that run throughout the year, but it's the run and the mill meetings day in, day out, where essentially you're going to lose the bottom end of the, you know, of the pyramid, and if you know, a pyramid is, if it keeps losing its lower end, then at some stage it's going to, well, a pyramid won't fall over, but you get my drift.
Sure.
It's going to continually erode away at that bottom end, which is the lifeblood of the game. So I think it probably is justified.
Yes, and that's the thing, isn't it? The majority of horses are at that level, and the boost needs to come for those lower grade races. It's all well and good. Cheltenham Festival prize money rising year after year. The Ebor's now worth £1 million. Yeah. A couple of flat races last year which is great, but there are a very small pool of horses that can contest those races, which has been Kelso's problem today. Obviously, they put up some great prize money.
Yeah.
And the clerk of the course has been very vocal in his disappointment that they haven't attracted that many runners today. But as many pointed out, there aren't enough horses that can go and take on a black court. You know, I know he got beat today, but horses that are rated in the 150s, there aren't that many horses to go and take them on.
No, absolutely. I mean, I can see it from both sides of the story. I think with the Kelso situation, it's a combination of three things. It's the presence of those poor nickel horses. It's also the ground conditions are obviously, they've done an unbelievable job to get any kind of good to soft in the ground description. But there were a few non-runners on the day which suggested maybe it wasn't quite as soft as some would have liked. And also the proximity to Cheltenham as well. There'll be certainly a lot of southern trainers who would have seen the prize money in the programme book at Kelso, but then thought, well, you know, a week and a half to Cheltenham, do we go up there? Paul Nichols has obviously bit the bullet and sent, I mean, Black Quarterman probably wasn't going to go to Cheltenham anyway, but his getaway trump potentially could have run in a decent handicap at the festival. He sent him up there for the prize money. He was disappointing, obviously. He got well beaten back and forth. I think the noticeable thing, Nigel Twiston-Davies is never one to sort of downplay things or shirk an opportunity or not be not take the sort of positive aspect of things. And his Blue Flight won the Premier Chase, won $34,000 in the process. Now, he was rated in excess of, I think it was £25 inferior to Black Quarton. But he's gone and beaten him.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
So that would probably be a lesson to some trainers in that, look, if you've got a horse that is fit and well and ready to run, you know, don't ever be scared of one horse, because Black Quarton had a hard race 2 weeks ago. He maybe wasn't suited to Kelso. He didn't jump and travel, and he got beaten by a horse that was supposedly vastly inferior to him. And consequently, the owners have picked up, you know, the best part of $35,000 in the process. So
yes.
They're the two sort of sides to the story, really, and I'm sure Nigel will be extolling the virtues of you know, giving it your best and getting your horses out there.
Hopefully there'll be some sort of resolution to this going forward, and obviously it's a shame that we've got that walkover at Sedgefield on Sunday. We'll take a look at a couple of races on Sunday now. We're going to start at Huntingdon, we'll preview one from Sedgefield as well. We'll begin the 3:35 though at Huntingdon, which is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Start us off with selection here, please, Will.
It's Cambridgeshire National Day at Huntingdon, so one of their big days of the year.
One of hundreds of nationals that we've seen. So every track's got a national.
Well, they do, yeah. But it's the race before that I'm going to put one up in, which is a 0-115 handicap hurdle over 2 miles. A horse of Gary Moore's called Thounder or Thunder. who has run a number of eye-catching races in handicap hurdles the last twice. He got beaten by Dyliev last time out here at Huntingdon over course and distance, which I think was probably a slightly deeper race than what this one is. The Notts Tide was in second. That was a good ex-flat horse. And there are any number of sort of eye-catching horses in behind that day who might well be better granted similar kind of assignments in time. Before that, he was second to Falcon Sun at Leicester, who was a step ahead of the assessor. So I think anywhere around the sort of 4-1, 5-1 mark, I would hope would be a standout sort of each way bet really for me. Niall Houlihan, excuse me, takes £10 off. He got on him last time out over course and distance, so he'll have got the experience on the horse. And I think he has every right to go well 10 days on from his previous visit to the course.
Okay, Thunder then, or Thauna, could be either, I suppose, couldn't it? In that Huntingdon race. On to Sedgefield, there, where we go for the 3:55, very much their feature race of the day. The Young Chasers Series final, it's a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Not a massive field here, but there's some quality in there, as you might expect for a series final.
It's a day, it's a final which is often sponsored actually by Brian Ellison or one of the prominent owners up there, say John Wade or someone like that. It doesn't seem to have a sponsor this year, which is sort of prevalent to the current climate. Yes. But yet it's still worth £18,000 to the winner, so a decent prize, which is in contrary to the walkover in the last race.
Yes.
We only have a field of five, but it's a field where all five of them come into it in decent enough form. Three of them have course winning form, but it's the top weight, the Paddy Pye, who is actually owned by Sedgefield stalwart John Wade and trained by probably the winning most trainer at Sedgefield, I'd imagine, Sue Smith, who has beaten a lot of these in previous starts and just looks to be getting, thriving with racing. Won at Haydock last time out, beating Wild Blue Yonder in decent fashion in a better race than this. Has only gone up the handicap by £4 on that occasion. He beat Manuel in the qualifying race for this the time before. And he's just a really likeable horse that has got into a good run of form. He'll probably, I imagine, be around favouritism, anywhere around the 2-1, 9-4, 5-2 mark, I think would be decent. He does meet some in-form rivals, as I say, so that you might get a decent enough price, but it looks as if this has been a plan all along, and he's clearly in great form. So the Paddy Pye for me, for Sue Smith and Danny Cook.
Good stuff. A couple of selections, then a couple of horses to follow on Sunday. As far as Will's concerned, don't forget you can join us live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. for meetings at Huntingdon, Sedgefield, and also Leopardstown as well. Luke Elder will be steering the ship with Ollie Pimlott and Paddy Aspel, trying to find the winners for you on Sunday. Hopefully you can join us for all of that. Will, thank you very much. Pleasure as always.
Cheers,
and enjoy it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.